In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. I'm kind of struck when I think of who does a better job at following. Christ following us, or we're following Christ. And we heard that Christ calls Andrew and his brother Peter, and also James and John, and he says, follow me. But they wouldn't have been able to if he hadn't, in a way, followed them. That God really has taken the initiative to visit us, to love us, and to care for us. And when I say that he's better at following us, I don't mean that he does our will, but that he has this pursuit, this eros, that he is constantly in love with us despite our sinfulness, and he continuously pursues us, and he has always tried to communicate with us. He created us out of love, and as St. Basil's liturgy, we declare that he gave us the law to help us, and we heard about the law in the epistle reading, that he sent his prophets, and finally he sent his only begotten Son, who would visit us and who would call us, and who would refuse to give up on us, who died for us. What a great and humble Lord. And this great fulfillment of the law and the prophets, we also say in one of the, after, before the dismissal of the liturgy, the priest goes to the prothesis where we prepare the holy gifts and says, Christ our God, you are the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, fill our hearts with joy and gladness. This fullness that God gives to us is because he also emptied himself. Last week, Peter says to Christ, in the gospel that we heard last week, Peter says to Christ, behold, we have left everything. And again, we can ask, who's better at leaving everything? Christ came down from heaven, and in the theological wording of the church, we see that kenosis means emptying. Not only did he leave everything, but for our fulfillment, to fulfill the law and the prophets, he empties himself on the cross. That our God, who has bedecked everything in beauty and in wisdom, is stripped of dignity on the cross as far as the world is concerned, but this is where he is exalted. This is where he drives away the demons. This is where he fulfills what was written. And the disciples had learned about the law and the prophets. In the Gospel of John, we didn't hear it today, but in the Gospel of John, when Peter goes to tell, when Andrew goes to tell Peter, he says, we have found the Christ. And he leads Peter to Christ. When Philip has this experience, he goes to tell Nathanael, he says, we have found him of whom Moses wrote in the law. And this is an experience of God having pursued us, that he communicated with us in the law and the prophets, and then he comes in person, leaving everything, so to speak, coming down from heaven, not leaving his divinity, of course, not stopping being God, but he also becomes a human being and gave himself for us, totally emptied himself on the cross. And so when we hear things like, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me bury my father, and then Christ says, let the dead bury their own dead. When we think in worldly terms, we think that sounds cruel. How can he not care about his father? Well, that's not what he said. If Christ came to pursue us, when this man said, let me go and bury my father, he was forgetting that if he had followed Christ, he would not only have Christ, but he would also be able to take care of his father. He says, Christ says, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, because we're not able to love at all unless we love Christ first. Christ didn't say that in order to follow him, we have to renounce all of our relationships, because if we do, how do we see Christ? We have to love those that we think are the least of Christ's brethren, the ones that are the hardest. So when we have this joy, when we realize that Christ is following after us, not to listen to our teachings or to do our will, but to heal us, as it says in the Holy Gospel today, that he healed all of the infirmities. We're here in this gathering because Christ has moved us by his pursuit, and then we can respond. But there's also this element of bringing someone else. And I think sometimes we could say, well, I really love Christ, but maybe I'm a little embarrassed about how some things happen in church or how some people behave. Well, the disciples didn't say, well, I'm not going to follow Christ because the other disciples are tax collectors and sinners. They followed Christ because they needed to be healed of their spiritual infirmities. And he also healed physical infirmities to show that life is coming to everybody, that we're supposed to be getting ready for our bodily resurrection. And who can think of a healing that will surpass that? And that's what's coming to those who have gone before us and to all of us. So I think when we're reluctant to share with someone, or at least invite someone, we may have made church more about ourselves than about Christ. But when we have this experience of Christ, we can't help but exemplify it and try to say that somebody is welcome because we've been welcomed. You know, it bears repeating to say a welcoming church is one where everyone says that God has welcomed me. If it means that the people who were here earlier express inadvertently, well, this is really my territory that I'm allowing you to come into, that's not really welcoming. And again, it's not making church about Christ, because Christ has welcomed the clergy and the laity, all of us. This is his banquet, not ours, and he's feeding us. And so that experience is what drove the Samaritan woman to drop her water pitcher and forget why she even went to the well in the first place, and was experiencing this fulfillment of the law and the prophets, feeling so full of this living water. Christ promises, whoever's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Out of his heart or his belly really will flow rivers of living water, that we're overflowing with this joy of this experience of Christ. And it just fuels us to go and share that somehow. And how exactly it looks, we don't always know, but by praying to him, he will help us. People dropped everything to follow Christ. And in a way, we really have to do that now, to drop. Remember, Matthew left the tax office. James and John, as we heard today, left their father in the boat. Peter and Andrew followed Christ. And again, it's not to say that Christ said you are not to have any ties with anybody. Because Peter says we left everything, but at the same time, Jesus did go to Peter's mother-in-law's house when she had the fever, and he visited her and healed her. So obviously, Peter was allowed to have relationships with his family. But some people do have a hard time. Some people have come to the Orthodox Church, and the rest of their family has not been supportive of that. There are challenges. And sometimes when we come, we have to think about what should I drop in order to be able to share Christ with somebody else? I should drop the things that are getting in my way of getting closer to Christ. Because when we talk about the law, we should remember that God gave us the law to help us, as St. Basil says, and not for the law to become an idol where we begin to pride ourselves on following the rules without remembering that those were there to bring us closer to God and not for the sake of following rules in an empty way. Christ talks about fulfilling the law, not to say that the law is useless, but with Christ, we can go above and beyond what the law says. And he does this by saying things like, whoever disobeys the least of my commandments will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Again, when we pride ourselves on following rules, then we take it on ourselves to make the rules have a hierarchy. Well, I am not as bad as you because the rules that I break are not as serious as the ones that you do. But then Christ says, whoever lusts commits adultery. That's that. If that shows us that even in our minds, God can help us to go above and beyond what the law says so that we can get closer to God. Fulfillment. Lots of ways that we think about Christ filling our hearts, filling those empty spaces that the law, while it was to help us, to pursue Christ who pursues us to perfect us. You and I cannot perfect ourselves by ourselves. Yes, it's our responsibility to go to the house of the Lord. It's our responsibility to pursue the life with Christ. Just like the son who is returning after squandering his father's inheritance, it does say that he was still at a distance when his father ran out to meet him. So we don't perfect, we don't fulfill, Christ fulfills, but we're on our way. In a similar way, in the wedding service, we say the prayer that we ask we acknowledge the promise that the couple has given to one another, but that's not the marriage. It's a descent of the Holy Spirit. That's the fulfillment of the law. The law says you have to agree and you have to come and make your promise, but the fulfillment comes through the activity of the Most Holy Trinity. That's the mystery, and that's where we can achieve, or God can achieve, perfection through us. So, as we see Peter and Andrew and James and John today who respond to Christ's pursuit, that he came down from heaven to visit us. He emptied himself so that we can be filled. When we see them, I think the question is, how can we share that? How can we say that God has welcomed every one of us and share that? And not to make the church about ourselves, because then we will maybe shy away from sharing it, but try to find ways that Christ is working on us all the time and healing us. The church has been called a hospital, not that it guarantees instantaneous healing of our illnesses, but the healing of our souls does begin by coming in contact with Christ. If our souls are holy, then our body will be holy. And we know that the healing of our body comes eventually. So it's time now to receive this love of Christ and to ask him, what can I do to share this love with someone else and glorify Christ who gave himself for us? To him be all glory, honor, and worship together with his eternal Father, his all holy and good and life-creating Spirit, now and forever, and unto the ages of ages.